Shavuos, Yom Yerushalayim, Kinos Torah, Chairman Rabbi Tobias Roth, Speakers Rabbi Reuven Haberman, Rabbi Benjamin Blech.
Welcome you all. Good afternoon, everybody. The Yimei Iyun that the Rabbinic Alumni sponsor, certainly are most worthwhile and advantageous for the Haverim. They're not only substantive in a very pragmatic sense, in that we can make use of these occasions to our own benefit as Rabbonim in pulpits, but they're also advantageous to us in a theoretical sense, that is to say, they give us substance for thought to think about for ourselves, to develop ourselves intellectually and stimulate ourselves rationally. I was asked to be brief, and so I'm going to be very brief, although that I would have liked to present to you Chomer LaDrush myself. On Yom Yerushalayim and on Shavuos as well, since like all Rabbanim, we've been preaching for many, many years, and it would be nice to have the opportunity to share it with you. But we're fortunate this afternoon to have two very, very fine Haverim who have made outstanding contributions to Yiddishkeit through their involvement in Chinuch and in the pulpit, and who have presented themselves in the past as outstanding darshanim, Rabbi Reuven Haberman and Rabbi Benjamin Blech. We're going to take them in alphabetical order. And so it gives me great pleasure first to call upon Rabbi Reuven Haberman, who is formerly was a director of Reeds. He is this year a visiting professor at Stern College, and as a full-time job, he is director of Halachic Studies at Michlala in Eretz Yisrael. Without any further ado, Rabbi Haberman.
This morning is Chag Shavuot k'Chag Matan Torah, and it is a topic which I would prefer, but I'll speak in English. I would prefer to give this, since it will be in a shiur form, I would prefer to give it in Hebrew. It is very difficult for me to give a shiur in English today. I do it, but even at Stern College, when I'm teaching for the semester, all of my students speak a fluent Hebrew, and the courses that I gave in Stern College were given in Hebrew. But I think, anyway, we'll speak in English, and we'll deal with the topic. Basically, we have a problem here. Anshei Knesset HaGdola, according to the Gemara in Brachot, were the ones that gave us the formula for the Shmon Esrei. And in the Shmon Esrei, we find each holiday labeled conceptually. Chag HaMatzot is called Zman Chirutenu, Chag HaShavuot Zman Matan Toratenu, and Chag HaSukkot Zman Simchatenu. As far as Zman Simchatenu, we have no problems. As far as Zman Chirutenu, biblically, we certainly have no problems. But with Zman Matan Toratenu, we have a big problem. We have a big problem, first of all, textually speaking. There is absolutely no verse in the Torah, in terms of Pshuto Shel Mikra, that says to us that Chag HaShavuot is Zman Matan Toratenu. In Shmot Chav Gimel in Parshat Mishpatim, we find that the Torah speaks of Chag HaKatzir Bikurei Maasecha. Bikurei as Rashi, both in Shas and a number of places in the Torah tells us, has two meanings. Bikurei meaning the Shtei Alechem that we bring on Chag HaShavuot, also meaning it is the beginning of the permission to use these the products of Chameshet Minei Dagan for the Korban Mincha from the Tvua Hadasha in the Beit HaMikdash. And also Bikurim Rashi says it is the beginning of the period in which one may bring Bikurim from Shavuot and on. We find in the Torah the word Yom HaBikurim in Parshat Pinchas, where we speak of the basic korbanot of Chag HaShavuot, and we find Chag HaShavuot in Dvarim Tetzayin. And I want to just take a moment and let us review a few of the psukim as we find them in Parshat Re'eh. For here we find more than anywhere else a definition of the Yom Tov of Shavuot. The Torah tells us, Shiva Shavuot ispor lach, me'achel chamesh bakamat achel ispor Shiva Shavuot. V'yasita chag Shavuot la'ashem elokecha. And then the Torah says, you want to know what this Chag HaShavuot is? Misat nidvat yadcha asher titein kasher yivarechecha Hashem elokecha. You have to worry, as Rashi says here, that the word is, Dai nidvat yadcha hakol lefi abracha. Havei shalmei simcha v'kadesh kruim le'echol. Meaning, if you want to know what Chag HaShavuot deals with, says Rashi, bring lots of shalmei chagiga, invite lots of people to come to eat. This is what Rashi says is the essence of Chag HaShavuot. And certainly, between this definition of Chag HaShavuot and the definition which Anshei Knesset HaGdola have formulated in the Shmon Esrei of Zman Matan Taratenu, the distance seems to be, at first glance, a very, very great one. In Torah Shebaal Peh, we certainly find immediately the identification between the Yom Tov of Shavuot and Zman Matan Taratenu. The Gemara in Megillah, in dealing with Kriyas HaTorah, what we are to read, the Gemara says as follows. Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Ba'atzeret Shiva Shavuot. The Gemara says that on the Yom Tov of Shavuot, we are to read these psukim, which I just quoted. Shiva Shavuot Tisparat Me'achel Chermesh Bakama Umaftirim B'Chabakuk. And for the Haftorah, we read from the book of Habakkuk, and in the book of Habakkuk, we find the verse Elokaim Teiman Yavo VeKadosh Mehar Paran, and the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah Daf Beit Amud Bet that this verse is referring to Matan Torah. So basically, Chazal have said that on Shavuot, this is what we are to read. Then we find the following statement. Acherim omrim b'chodesh hashlishi umaftirin b'merkava. There are others who say we read b'chodesh hashlishi in Parshat Yitro, and we read the first perek of the Navi Yecheskel. Says the Gemara, v'ha'idna di'ikatre yome, we in Bavel, we have 2 days, avdinan ketarvaihu, we do as both of them, the Ipcha. However, we reverse the process. We reread Parshat Yitro the first day, and the second day we read Kolab Horor, or from Parshat Re'eh. Rashi, in his explanation of this, says as follows. Rashi says, certainly, Shiva Shavuot is the more important one in terms of reading, because the other is brought as Acherim Omrim, there is a Tanakama here. But however, we reverse it, and Rashi says, "De Matan Torah b'Shishi b'Sivan." Rashi says here clearly that the reason that we do this is because Matan Torah is Shishi B'Shivan. In the Yerushalmi, we find the very same statement. In the Yerushalmi, we find a Yeshomrim. That's the way the Yerushalmi says that we should read Parshat Yitro. And the Korban Eda says on that Yerushalmi, Lifnei Shebo Bayom Nitan Torah LeYisrael. In other words, here we find a very definitive statement saying that on this day the Torah was given to Israel. A more, perhaps a stronger statement in Chazal concerning Matan Torah is found in the very well-known Gemara in Psachim Daf Samach Tet, where the Gemara is dealing there with the problem of Korban Pesach. What can be done with the Korban Pesach? Can the Mishnah says, can you machlok it in the Mishnah? Can the Korban Pesach be carried on Shabbat to the Beit HaMikdash, the machlok it there, and dealing with if Korban Pesach is a mitzvah and achila in Yontiv is a mitzvah? And then the Gemara says as follows, in discussing this, the Gemara brings a braita. And the Braita says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein lo la adam biyom tov ela ochel v'shotel yoshev v'shoneh. Rabbi Eliezer says, there is no mitzvah of achila. For one cannot spiritually reach great heights in Simchat Yom Tov by eating and drinking and then expect to be able to learn. But if you want, you choose. You spend the day spiritually in learning, and Sudot Yom Tov are not a mitzvah, or else the opposite. You spend your day in physical enjoyment, and you get Simchat Yom Tov through them. And then the Gemara comes along and says, Rabbi Yoshua Omer Chalkeil Chetziav La'achila V'shtiyah V'chetziav L'Beit HaMikdash. And the Gemara brings psukim for this. Then says the Gemara as following. Amar Rabbi Lozor, the Amora says, Hakol Modim, even Rabbi Eliezer, who does not see in Yom Tov, in Sudat Yom Tov, a mitzvah, eating is not a mitzvah in Yom Tov, Hakol Modim, he says, Ba'atzeret Debi'inanani Lachem, on the Yom Tov of Shavuot, even Rabbi Eliezer the Tana says that everybody must participate in Sudot Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, my taima, what is the reason? Yom Shenitna Batorahi. In other words, we find here an expression, and then the Gemara goes on and says that they all agree that also on Purim one must eat a Suda, and on Erev Yom Kippur one must eat a Suda. And the Gemara has a number of stories afterwards, basically ascribing the importance of eating on the Yom Tov of Shavuot. In other words, the eating, as the Rishonim say here, as Rashi says here, that the eating is a kashayismach mo'bo b'machal u'benishte laharot shenoach u'mekubal yom zeli Yisrael shenitna Torah bo. It's possible to look at Chag HaShavuot as a day of kfiya, as a day of coercion. When one engages in physical eating, he hereby declares that he will erase from himself the concept of coercion and sees in this day a day of completely accepting it as the day of Matan Torah. It's interesting, the Rokeach, and this Gemara says that this is the only Yom Tov that we find what we call the Kivsei Atzeret, where we find Shlonim as part of the Korban of the day that are to be eaten by the Kohanim. In other words, it's important to see that eating takes such an important part, says the Rokeach, of the Yom Tov of Shavuot. The Ramban goes further. The Ramban says that there is even a remez, the Ramban in the Gemara in Psachim, that there is a remez of this concept of eating in the pasuk of Vayechsu et ha'elokim vayochlu vayishtu, meaning that the Yom Tov of Matan Torah has to have with it the physical expression of simcha through Sudat Mitzvah. It's still possible to say that, all right, perhaps Matan Torah was part of this Yontov in an indirect way. For example, we read the Akedat Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah because of what Chazal say, the connection between Yitzchak Avinu and the Akedah. But is that the essence of the Yom? Chazal tell us the essence is the coronation of the Almighty. Rosh Hashanah is not primarily a Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is a day of coronation, a day in which we are Mamli Chaleinu Melech. But since Yitzchak Avinu was born, we read this. Let us perhaps, at first glance, say that this is really the issue. The issue would be that the Torah does not see it as the real reason for the Yom Tov, but since it happened to be, if it is so, we'll get to that in a moment, that the Torah was given at this time, that we, or with that, therefore Chazal put the formula Zman Matan Torah. But of course this is very difficult to say. It's difficult because basically it seems like Zman Matan Torah Teinu is, as we say in Hebrew, Muhuto Shel Hayom. This is the entire thing. The entire day is Zman Matan Torah Teinu. At least this is the way Chazal understood. We have another problem which we want to, which we have to deal with. In terms, when we talk about Zman Matan Torah Teinu, we're going to have to deal with Zman. There's an interesting Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says as follows. The Tani Rab Shmaya. Rab Shmaya says as follows. Atzeret pa'amim hei, pa'amim vav, pa'amim zayin. The Yom Tov of Shavuot doesn't have a date to it. It can be the 5th of Sivan, it can be the 6th of Sivan, and it can be the 7th of Sivan. It's the only Yom Tov that the Torah doesn't give it a date. After all, the Torah says it's Yom Hamishim to the countdown from Pesach. HaKetzah, says the Gemara, Shneim Eleim Hamishah. If both Nisan and Iyar are 30 days in length, so if you'll make the Cheshbon, the date of Shavuot will be Hei Sivan. And when there was Kiddush HaChodesh, Al Pi Bedin, it was certainly very possible that the Kiddush HaChodesh of this month was Maleh, and Shavuot was on the 5th day. Shneim Chaserim Shiva. Echad Malay v'echad chaser shisha. In other words, here we today, when we have the calendar, probably of Hillel Hasheni, therefore we know that in our calendar the month of Nisan is always 30 days, the month of Iyar is always 29 days. So the Yom Tov of Shavuot falls on Vav Sivan. But what it's important for us at the moment to understand is that Shavuot intrinsically does not have a date in the year, but Shavuot is dependent on Nun Hamishim Yom L'Sfirah. Now, let's go a little bit further. And incidentally, in that Gemara, the Gemara brings later the Acherim, there's an interesting Deya which says that there Daf Zayin, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara there brings the day of Acherim, which says that there's no problem with months. Every month was 29 or 30, and therefore there's only 4 days of difference between. In other words, if Rosh Hashanah in any year was on Monday, count 4 days later, it'll be 50 weeks and 4 days. But this day certainly wasn't accepted, and it's got a lot of difficulties to it. The next point we have to see is two Gemarot. One Gemara is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is brought in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Chet. The Yerushalmi says as follows. Meshar Shirei B'Shem Rav Idei Amre. B'chol HaKarbanot K'tiv Chet. If we look in Parshat Pinchas, whenever we have the concept of Sir Izim, The Torah always uses the word chet. What does the Gemara say there? The Gemara says, Seir chatat lechaper aleichem. Seir izim echad lechatat lashem. It says the Gemara, but uba'atzeret ein ktiv chet. Ela seir izim echad lechaper aleichem. Before you ask any questions, I want to point out that there is the word chet by Sirizim, but not in Pinchas, but in Parshat Emor. But here we have another thing. You know that in Shavuot, Shavuot is a Yom Tov which we have the Korbanot Hayom, but in addition we have the Shei Alechem with the Korbanot Ola and Shlomim which come with the Shei Alechem. In the korbanot that are part of the process of Shtei HaLechem and its sacrifice, there we do find the word chet. When the Gemara says here that the word chet is not brought in terms of the Yom Tov of Shavuot, the Gemara is only referring to those psukim in Parshat Pinchas, but not the psukim in Parshat, the Parsha that we read last week here at Rabbanim. They'll all jump at me and say, but just last week I made a drasha on the pasuk that it says chet in Shavuot. That's in terms of the korban of the Shtei Alechem there. And now the Gemara says as follows, the Yerushalmi. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, מכיוון שקיבלתם עליכם עול התורה, מעלה אני עליכם כאילו לא חטאתם מימיכם. In other words, here is a very, very important Gemara to understanding Chazal. From this Gemara we see that we can never make the mistake of saying that Chag HaShavuot, in terms of Matan Torah, this was a secondary kind of thing. For Chazal are here saying that the basic formula in the Torah shows that it's a day of Kabbalah Satorah. The fact that the word chet is not used, that Am Yisrael said Naseh v'Nishma, and therefore the element of sin is not a part of the Yom Tov of Shavuot, this in itself is sufficient to say that Chazal could not have looked at Shavuot in the same manner as we look at the reading of the Akedah, perhaps, and on Rosh Hashanah. But now we come to our big problem. A well-known Gemara, the Magen Avram in Hilchos Shavuot immediately asks the question, but we have to deal with that Gemara, and then I think we can tie it together and say the few things that we want to say. The Gemara says as follows: Tanu Rabbana, b'shishi b'chodesh nitnu aseret hadibrot liYisrael. This is a Gemara in Pei Zayin in Masechet Shabbat. The Gemara says as follows: Tanu Rabbana. בשישי בחודש ניתנו עשרת הדיברות לישראל. רבי יוסי אומר בשבעה בו. אמר רבא, דכולי עלמא בראש חודש עתו למדבר סיני. And the Gemara brings פסוקים, the פסוקים don't interest us. ודכולי עלמא בשבת ניתנה תורה לישראל. The Gemara is giving us this as a fact. Bnei Yisrael came to Midbar Sinai, Bo Midbar Sinai was Rosh Chodesh, and the Torah, according to the Bavli, certainly, the Torah was given on Shabbat. And says the Gemara, Ki Pligin. So how can they have two different days? This well-known Gemara, the Gemara says, Bikriya Diyarpin. Which day was Rosh Chodesh? Was Rosh Chodesh on Sunday or on Monday? Rav Yossi sovar b'chad b'shada ikva yarkna u'b'chad b'shada lo amar lehu v'lo midei mishum chul shada urcha. Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on Sunday. However, Moshe Rabbeinu did not begin the process of preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. People are tired. They needed a long weekend. We find, incidentally, it's not a joke about the weekend. In terms of the machloket between the tzedokim, the Gemara says there that he says, when he says, give me a reason, because the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to give a long weekend. So the long weekend, we find in Chazal, we miss it in Eretz Yisrael. I certainly miss it, that we don't have a day besides Shabbos, that Sunday morning you're back to a full day's work. But in any event, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a long weekend, according to this opinion. ובחד משום חול שדורך בתרי ושבתא אמר לו ואתם תהיו לי ממלכת כהנים וגוי קדוש בתלתא Tuesday אמר לו מצוות הגבלה הגבלת ההר הזה בארבע אבו פרישה. And on the fourth day they had the din of al tikshu el ayisha, the din of prisha for 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is Rabbi Yossi. Incidentally, this is part of the sugya of if shifa zeres metame, how many onot, six onot, four onot, but that's not, doesn't have to do with our inyan, so we're not going to go into that. But certainly, this is the way, and the Torah was given on Shabbos. What does the second opinion say? The Rabbanan. What does the Rabbanan say? Rabbanan sabre dachad b'shapte lo betray b'shapte ikve yarcha betray b'shapte lo amarnu v'lo midi mishum chul shavuicha betlata amru lo v'atem tiyuni barba amru le mitzvat hagbala v'heyavut prisha. And then the Gemara begins to ask questions. May today v'kidashtem hayom umachar. How can Rabbi Yossi say that there are 3 days when the Torah says hayom umachar? And it's interesting that the Gemara says here, Hosi flo Moshe Rabbeinu yom echad midaito v'akadosh baruch hu iski. Here is the crux of the problem. The Gemara says on Pei Chet that everybody agrees that Bnei Yisrael left Egypt on Thursday. That Pesach, according to the Bavli, was on Thursday. Let's just keep measuring. This year it's going to be easy to give such a shiur. I'll tell you why. Because this year Pesach was Thursday. We'll be able to understand exactly what we're saying. If Pesach is on Thursday, when is Shavuot going to be in Yeretz Hashem? On Friday, correct? Right? Friday, and then we'll have the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot called Shabbos Kodesh. Right? Right afterward. There's Friday and Shabbat, correct? There's Shavuot and Shabbat coming together. Apparently I'm going to miss a parsha. Okay. Meaning that if the Torah were given on Shavuot, what day would the Torah have to have been given on? Friday. And if everybody is in agreement, and it really makes no difference if it was Vav B'Sivan or Zion B'Sivan, the date is not really what's important here. It's the countdown, the number of days. If the Torah was given on Shabbat, according to the Bavli, then the Torah certainly was not given on the Yom Tov of Shavuot. It is impossible, I repeat, it is impossible to say that the Torah, forget dates. As we said, dates aren't really important. That's why I brought the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. The dates are certainly not important. But according to the Bavli, the Torah could not have been given on the Yom Tov of Shavuot. Even if the year was Monday, Shavuot, if Iyar is Monday, that has nothing to do with the counting. If we count the days in Sphira to 50 days, this year is a good example. The 50th would have to be Friday. And in other words, it had nothing to do with Mole, Chaser, forget me. Those of you who are not mathematicians don't have to worry about it. You don't have to understand the mathematics. It's very simple. It's just like this year. The Bavli says Jews went out of Egypt on Thursday, and the Bavli says the Torah was given on Shabbos. The Bavli says Pesach was Thursday, just as it's this year. When is Shavuot? Friday. So in other words, one thing for sure. According to the Talmud Bavli, the words Zman Matan Toratenu cannot possibly mean the giving of the Torah, the giving of the Aseret HaDibrot to Moshe. According to the Yerushalmi, it isn't too much of a problem. In the Yerushalmi, we find something which is brought in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Mem Vav, and it's brought in the Yerushalmi in Shabbat Perek Tet Halacha Gimel. The Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria Omer, Erev Shabbat, B'shisha Lachodesh, B'sheisha Ot Bayom, Kiblu Yisrael et Adibrot. According to the Yerushalmi in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the Torah was given on Friday, Gamarnu. No drushes, nothing is difficult. According to the Bavli, and the Bavli is our basic source, we can face any community of Jews and say to them, Rabotai, according to our basic source, the Torah was not given to us on Shavuot. And that which your Hebrew school teachers taught you, that the Torah was given on Shavuot, that is not true. If that is the case, what suggestion do we have in order to understand what happens? In order to be able to perhaps suggest an answer. There are a lot of answers. There's a Rivash, which is Dafuk, which the Magen Avraham brings. And if you look at the Rivash, I won't even go into the Rivash now. You can look it up in the Magen Avraham at the beginning of Hilchot Shavuot. You'll find that all of these Terutzim are very difficult to understand. There is one Tosfot in the Gemara, which I think perhaps can be a key. The Gemara is in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows, Amar Reish Lakish, Mai Dechtiv Vayihi Erev Vayihi Boker Yom Hashishi. And Rashi says, what does it say, Vayi Erev Vayi Boker Yom Hashishi? Wait, we'll get to Rashi in a moment. Sheitna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imase Breshit Va'amar. Im Yisrael Mekablim Et Torati Mutav. V'im Lav Ani Achzor Etchem Letohu Vavohu. Says Rashi, Vayihi Erev Vayi Boker Yom Hashishi, meaning there's going to be a sixth day of Sivan, not of the week. Rashi says, no, there's going to be a sixth day of Sivan. And I quote the Rashi, because Rashi could not have said in the Bavli that the Bavli, Rashi says here, Vayer Vayo Pirish, the Shishi, the Katuba Masab Rashi, Vayer Vayo Yoma Shishish, Shehu Shishi the Sivan, Sheatidin Yisrael, Le Kabla et HaTorah. Sheatidin Yisrael, Le Kabla et HaTorah. He doesn't say, all right. Tosfot immediately asks the question. Tema, says Tosfot, Leman diyomar b'shiva b'chodesh nitnu aseret hadibrot mai vayere vayibokir yom hashishi. And Tosfot gives two terutzim. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, all right, now let's say we're dealing with dates. But according to this, the Torah was given on the sixth of Sivan. But what about Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that the Torah was given on the seventh of Sivan? What will he do with this pasuk? And Tosfot says two things. V'yeshlomar, the Tanakama, b'yoma kama lo amar midei mishum chulsha d'urcha. Inami, haitar uyali natein b'shishi, ela shahosif Moshe yom echad midaita. In other words, Tosfot is saying here, let's take the second teretz first. There was the master plan of the Almighty, and there was the change which Moshe Rabbeinu asked to be brought about. Moshe Rabbeinu created a change and received the haskama of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Man, Torah Shebal Peh, creating, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu maskim. This is what the second parent says. In order to complete this formulation, I just want to ask one question. I think that this is a very basic question. What's this whole bit about Matan Torah? If we look at the Rambam in Hilchot Melachim, Perek Tet Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says as follows: Al Shisha Dvarim Nitztave Adam Arishon. Al Avodah Zara, Val Birkat Hashem, Val Shfichat Damim, Val Gilui Arayot, Val Hagezel, Val Hadinim. Hosif, Hosif Lenoah. Eiver minachai, nimtzot sheva mitzvot. V'chein haya davar b'chol olam ad Avram. Ba'avram v'nitztave yeter aleinu b'mila. And then the Rambam goes on to say what Avraham perhaps brought to the world and what Yitzhak. But I'm not talking about what they brought to the world, but what it says, v'nitztavu, tzivuyim. And therefore, and then it says, u'b'mitzrayim, nitztava Amram b'mitzvot yetero. We can, of course, before Matan Torah, add all of the mitzvot in Parshat Bo. We can add, if we want, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Unvav, that in Mara they received mitzvot. Rashi quotes Shabbat, Paraduma, and Kibudah Vayim, even though Paraduma is not brought in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's very difficult. The Ramban even goes further. The Ramban on the Torah tells us that at Mara, the Jewish people received an entire civil order. He says, Pshuto Shel Mikra requires us to say that they received all of the halachot at Mara, which would be necessary in the Mikra. So, let me ask a very simple question. What are we celebrating on the Yom Tov of Shavuot? Are we saying, till now we had 45 mitzvot, now we're receiving 550 mitzvot, hurrah, a lot of mitzvot. In other words, is this what we're saying? that the Yom Tov of Shavuot is the Yom Tov of the giving us of many mitzvot vis-a-vis the few we had before. It seems to me that the entire concept of Matan Torah is found in the words Zman Matan Torah. When I give you a matana, we have here what is called in halacha Shinui Bailut. Why is there a question of giving a matana on Shabbos? The Kinyan is a Shinui Bailut. Until now, this book belonged to me. Now the vice president of my congregation's son is having a bar mitzvah and I'm giving him a Sefer HaChinuch. So then there is a Shinui of Bailut. Precisely this is what Matan Torah means. Until the day that the Ribbono Shel Olam had planned in his master plan, the Torah is Bashamayim. From that day on, Lo Bashamayim. There is the Hosif Moshe Yom Echad Midai Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maskim. There is now man's ability to create in Torah. For if Moshe Rabbeinu has a Shiloh, and Moshe and his Bidin Paskins and this Shiloh, this Psak Halacha is Torah Min HaShamayim. It's Torah Shebal Peh. It doesn't make any difference. It's creativity on the part of man. When we say Zman Matan Torateinu according to the Talmud Bavli, we are not speaking here of the physical giving of Aseret HaDibro. These were not given on Shavuot according to the Talmud Bavli. These were given a day later. We are speaking of the receiving Bailut al HaTorah. And that's what Tosfot is saying here. In other words, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, says Tosfot, you want to wait another day before I physically say to you, Anochi and Lo Yeyelecha, and I give you the Aseret HaDibrot? Fine, we'll wait another day. But you should know that from this day on, you're the Balabas of this Torah. The Torah is yours. Therefore, even according to the Bavli, we can say with ease, Zman Matan Torah. I think I overran my time.
Yes, the Kol Chacha, Rabbi Abraham, that was beautiful. Beautiful.
Okay.
We're going to interrupt the presentation briefly. I would like to call on the president of our rabbinic alumni, what's his name? Rabbi Steve Dworkin, to make a presentation.
This is really not unfinished business, because business presupposes that it's some kind of a task. This is really a bit of unfinished pleasure. Originally, at our REITs dinner, which was held about a month and a half ago, Rabbi Elder Marcus was to be honored at that time. Unfortunately, due to a death in the family, the Petira of his mother-in-law, Alvin wasn't able to be with us. And therefore, the matana over which we want him to assume bailus wasn't able to be given to him. And therefore, just taking a moment, Alvin, if you come forward, this is just a token of respect, of admiration, all that you have done for our colleagues. On a personal note, you and I go back a long time, you longer than I, but we together go back a long time. You have not only been a mentor, but you've been a very dear personal friend, a beloved colleague, one to whom I personally have been able to turn many, many occasions to arrive. And since, Alvin, you are such an honor, I won't continue. It is our pleasure. You have to open it up.
I'll open it up to you.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, you know, my philosophy is Sonny Matanos Yehia. So, that's in general. First of all, I would like to thank rabbinic alumni for the opportunity of having served our Chaverim. I had the privilege of being in the transition administration between our directors, between Rabbi Averick and Rabbi Rosenbaum, and I really didn't do anything. It was they who did. They who did the work. And one thing I did learn is the fact that I thought before I assumed the position that I did so out of an indebtedness to Yeshiva, what Yeshiva has done for me personally, and what Yeshiva has done, I think, for the Jewish community, as well as you all know. Having served for the last 2 years in the capacity of the president, I want you to know that now I'm even more indebted to Yeshiva than before, and I hope to continue to try to do what I can do, and I hope that all of us will realize that Baruch Hashem Yeshiva has reached 100 years of service that to the Jewish community, that we are indebted for those 100 years, and that we have to do our part so that the next 100 years will be as glorious as the past. And oh boy, oh boy. This is for the Neshama Yisera, it looks like. No, it's not an oversight. Oh boy. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Marcus, David, Adar, which was the original.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's
on the Shema, you know, when you leave presidency, you lose.
Thank you very much, Teddy.
One, for anybody who knows our speakers this afternoon, Rabbi Aberman and Rabbi Bleff, know that their students think very highly of them, that they actually love their teachers because of the quality of the education that they impart and their personalities in the classroom and their relationship with their students. I think we can see so far Rabbi Aberman's presentation and why his students feel that way, and now we're going to find out why Rabbi Bluff's students think the same way about Rabbi Bluff. It gives me great pleasure to call upon Rabbi Benjamin Bluff, who is the rabbi of the Young Israel of Oceanside and who is a professor at the James Schreier School of Jewish Studies. Rabbi Bluff.
I was given very strict instructions. My task, as I understand it, is to give Chomer LaDrush for Yom Yerushalayim and for Shavuos. There are two ways in which any rabbi could speak. One is to his balabatim, and that is in lengthy form. I would rather speak today in rabbinic shorthand so that you can take what I tell you and spread it out over the piece of bread, but the jam, hopefully, is there, concentrated. Let's do Yom Yerushalayim first. I have in mind, depending on the time, to do two drushes for Yom Yerushalayim and two for Shavuos. If the time doesn't allow it, I'll stop whenever it is deemed necessary. You know that the Shabbos before Yom Yerushalayim, and the one in which I believe you should be speaking about it, would be the Chukosai. There is a major sin, according to Chazal's interpretation of the Tochacha, that is responsible for the tragedies of our people. An ongoing way, there is one sin that God cannot forgive, and it is the sin, unfortunately, that some people are guilty of today, especially with regard to the miracles that we are witnessing in Eretz Yisrael. Im telchu imi bekeri is the key phrase which recurs over and over again. The Rambam, you all know, what is bekeri? Bekeri, although translated by some rebelliously, actually for the Rambam is a form of the word bemikre, and is nothing other than saying, if you persist in believing that this is just a happening, that it's merely a coincidence, that it is not part and parcel of some divine plan, then you have committed the ultimate sin. I carry that a step further. In terms of the pasuk that gives difficulty to the commentators as to where it belongs, can it still be part of the Tochacha when it says, Zecharti ani es brisi,
Yaakov's, Yitzchak's, Roman. Or it's Eskar, how can that be Tochacha? Well, perhaps it's the switch. Perhaps it is Tochacha. Because God is saying that this crime in particular I will hold against you if you fail to recognize events that occur to the Jewish people as being part and parcel of my covenant with the Avos. If the history of the Jewish people is not accepted as such, then you have failed to open your eyes to that which is reality. And the punchline to that pasuk is Achron Achron Chaviv V'Ha'oretz Eskar. Similarly, in that regard, if you fail to see that with regard to Eretz Yisrael, it is part of a divine plan. If you fail to grasp that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at work and that it is not Mikra, then you are guilty. How shall we grasp this divine plan? What are we to see? I tell you that we who are Zocha, as Elie Wiesel put it, we are the most cursed of all generations and the most blessed of all generations. We are the generation of Job and we are the generation of Jerusalem. We are the most cursed, you remember, parcel of that time which was predicted to be the prelude to the Messianic era, the Hevle Leida Mashiach. Certainly we lived through the Holocaust and we know what that represents. But post-Holocaust, we have lived to see the creation of two new holidays. I certainly hope that everyone here, certainly our congregations, accept these as two modern day holidays. I ask you though to consider with me for a moment a remarkable coincidence, not coincidence, and something that will lead us to perceive these two in a far different light than they appear at first glance, will allow us to see a link between them and also to other Yom Tovim that have previously existed. In our days, we now celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim. They are the two stages which we have been privileged to witness in terms of Akal to the Gula. Fascinating that biblically, when we speak of our first journey from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, the Yom Tovim accepted biblically for this journey are three in number. We have Shalosh Regalim. Micha Zayin makes a prediction.
that very simply as just a prediction saying that as I took you out then, so will I take you out in the future. But I believe the meaning is far more profound. When I take you out, that taking out will parallel the days when I took you out of Mitzrayim. Interesting to note that if we have Sholosh Regalim and so far in modern day terms two holidays, I believe implicitly that the two which we already celebrate are sequentially connected to the ones that already occurred in the initial redemption process from Mitzrayim. Let us go step by step. How can I define Yom Ha'atzmaut? There are those who would say you can't celebrate. Eretz Yisrael is not holy. I grant you. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, they did not have a Torah, and yet there was a Yontif. But why is that a Yontif? Because it fulfilled one basic characteristic which is sufficient to celebrate, and that is Man Cherusenu. For the simple fact of freedom, one may rejoice. And hence, Chag Ha'aviv, it is the spring. There are no fruits yet, I grant you. When there is no Torah, there are no Bikurim. I grant you that it is missing a great deal, and you can give me a list of all the imperfections of Israel, and I will agree, but I will still say to you, Sharansky can go there. I will still say to you that any Jew who recognizes the reality of Galut, perhaps as we should and we do not yet, has a home there. It is a haven for Klal Yisrael. It is the Chag Ha'aviv. How fascinating that in terms of time, Yom Ha'atzmaut corresponds most closely on the calendar to Pesach, Zman Cherusenu. Yes, but Cherus alone is not a fulfillment, and so we have to count the days to something more. Shavuos, Zman Matan Cherusenu, has another descriptive. It is Chag HaBikurim. That too, of course, is not the ultimate. It is only the first fruits, because only Klal Yisrael, who are referred to as Bnei Bechori Yisrael, accepted the Torah. Granted, it's a first, but there is a symbol and a site associated with Shavuos other than Sinai. Fascinating. Bikurim, if we read the Mishnahs dealing with Bikurim, had a beautiful ritual associated with it where the Jews took their fruits to Yerushalayim. One had to see that ritual fulfilled in order to see the joy. The many Mishnahs which you can quote at great length, telling us what the scene was like. Bikurim, Yerushalayim, and that is Kedusha. There is a second day in the series that we have lived to see in terms of modern counterparts to Sholosh Regalim. After Zman Cherusenu, lo and behold, closest in time to what holiday? To Shavuos. Yes, a little bit before, because it's not post-Shavuos. We don't have yet Kiddush Aseret Yisrael in terms of Torah. But I say to you, is it not amazing that it was a separate moment? It was a moment in time. It didn't happen together because in the Shemone Esrei there are two separate brachas. Tikabesh of Gola Cheresenu, the Sonais Tikabesh Kol Yisenu, Bruch Atvar Hashem, Mekabetz Nitcham Yisrael Zman Cheresenu, and then Yerushalayim Yircho. A second miracle. The miracle of Yerushalayim. Mind you, if I take you back for but a moment, in terms of viewing how these two are indeed the hand of God clearly manifest in our times, Yom Ha'atzmaut was predicted in a fascinating way, and not too many people know this. I delight in saying it over in the name of the Zohar. It's not on the spot on Bahar in this week's Seder, but I mention it to you, and you can certainly relate it to Bahar, where it says, Toshuvu yishal chazos l'yish mishpachto, with regard to the Yovel, Toshuvu you shall return. It is strange that the word Toshuvu is spelled chaser, it is spelled tafshin beis vav, instead of the way you would expect it to be written mole. The Zohar says if it's an error, it can't be an error, then it must not only be a word, it must also be a number. Hence the Zohar predicts that in the year Tafshin Beis Vav, Tafshin 700 Beis 2 Vav 6, let's shorten that, 700 and Ches, Tafshin Ches, the Jews will return. You will return. The year 1948, Yom Ha'atzmaut, was
Tavshin Ches on the Hebrew calendar, or better put, the year Tashuvu. When I once mentioned this to a class of mine, a bright student said, and I understand one more thing, Rabbi. It is true that we returned. It is true that we returned, but Chaser Vav minus six, an all-important six, lacking 6 million. That was a Talmud of mine who said it. Beautiful. So that
lacking six million.
No. Please don't confuse the issue. Lacking six, we return.
This is Zohar.
This is the Zohar. It's in the Zohar. I believe is in Vayera. It's in Bereishis. It's not on the spot. In Vayera, we returned Yom Ha'atzmaut. Man Chayrusenu. Then came fruits, and I say that when we return to Yerushalayim, that is a fruit. Yerushalayim is Ir HaKodesh. I know, and again, you need not inform me of the fact that there are deficiencies in Geula. I recognize that. But there is already a twofold miracle, and hence there are two holidays. There are two holidays, and therefore we should give a bracha for the second of these, even as we give a bracha for the first. If you ask me what the bracha is for Yom Yerushalayim, I tell you, I think it is a bracha that we say every single day. If I can first do the bracha right after that and show you very quickly. Strange. After you have already gotten up, after you've put on your shoes, after you've stood, after you've done all those things, it doesn't make sense in the wrong order. More, you don't say a bracha, you don't say amen there because it's a long bracha, it's bracha rucha. So, you wait until the end of the bracha. The end of the bracha is, bracha tar Hashem, gomech hasarim tov le'am Yisrael. I don't understand. The end of the bracha, the chasima always has to clarify the beginning of the bracha, the theme of the bracha. Mavir sheinom yeno yisum miyafapoy is a personal bracha, removing the sleep from my eyes. Why do you say gomel chasodim tovim liyam Yisrael? Is a raya there are mafarshim who say that this bracha has already moved from the yachid to the klal, to the rabbin. You've already moved now to a recognition of the fact that even as you have arisen, even as God has done something good for you, there is gomel chasodim tovim liyam Yisrael. What is Mavir Sheinom Yenoi? Usnuma Miyapapoi. You removed the sleep from my eyes. I now see the reality. The bracha before that is Baruch Ator Hashem Lekem Nocholom Hanosein Layoef Koach. Gentlemen, the date of Yom Yerushalayim is Chaf Ches Iyar. Hanosein Layoef Koach, who gave the weary the bracha of Koach and allowed us to see the fulfillment of Yom Yerushalayim. That is Mavir Sheino Mieno Snuma Miyapapoy. It is no longer a dream. We wipe away the sleep from our eyes and we say, Gomel Chasodim Tovim Liyamo Yisrael. And if these two have come to pass, Yom Yerushalayim, that follows Yom Atzmaut, and you were to ask me a simple question as someone once did, but Rabbi, how is it if Micha prophesied that the ultimate redemption will parallel the original redemption, and the original redemption has three holidays, Shalosh Regalim, why is it that we only have two? Then I say to you, patience, my son. Then I say to you, indeed, I see from here that there were three, there are only two now, because the story is not complete, because there is yet a third. A modern-day Shalosh Regalim corresponding to the biblical, which will fulfill the story as it should be fulfilled. I do not know the name that will be given to that day. Not Yom Atzmaut, not Yom Yerushalayim. I do predict, if I may be given that slight courtesy, that even as the first two of modern-day times corresponded in time to their biblical parallels, so too I think we will live to see a third holiday to be observed very close to the Yontif of Sukkot, which will in fact be the Yontif of Zman Simchasenu, when Mashiach will come and we will see the fulfillment of all of our dreams in the ultimate Chag HaAsif, when not only Bnei Bechori Yisrael, when the firstborn, the Jewish people accept the Torah, but when the entire world accepts God, and then, and only then, fascinatingly enough, not on Shavuos do we have Simchas Torah, but when the Chag HaAsif of world acceptance reaches fruition, then we will have Zman Simchasenu. It will be Yismach, because Yismach, if we rearrange the letters, is Moshiach, and please God, we will live to see that day.
Amen.
Oh, first and strong, everything in Sukkot, the Krios, you will see the Krios, that's correct, the Goyim will come to Yerushalayim, to Yerushalayim, correct, using all the Haftorahs deal with Moshiach, yes.
I gave this sermon for Yom HaTzmaut, basically, but there are two other things with it. Yom Yerushalayim and Yom HaTzmaut are Koach Hashem. The one comes on the 5th day of the month, the other is on the 28th. Also, I understand Rabbi Halach mentioned this.
Just they call out
the
day.
The year should go in 2 years. And we decided to have two, since that's the sign for Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is the fact that there was an argument over the fifth cup.
Yes.
The rabbis did something that the Torah didn't do. They carved Shavuos to Pesach. And they said that the two of them come together because one of the four statements talks about Matan Torah. So the final redemption, Evesi, comes in the period between Pesach and Shavuos in that time.
Okay. The book has not yet been written. The title is here. We all know the series as far as it went. Friday, the rabbi slept late, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think the series can begin again with Sunday, the Pope went to shul. And having lived to see that remarkable day, I believe in conjunction with Yom Yerushalayim, we ought to clarify something, and we ought to recognize the two sides of the coin in terms of what we have lived to see and what we have not lived to see, and understand why. I want first to say, although there are many who downplay the significance of the event, that we are a people of Pesach that counts Sfira to Shavuos. And by that I mean an all-important concept that one must recognize. You know that Pesach, according to the Midrash, is a yontif that almost didn't happen. Because in the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sneh, where Moshe kept refusing his job, there is a deeper dimension to that dialogue which is made clear by Chazal. Yes, after all the various arguments that Moshe Rabbeinu had, some of them rooted in anibus, some of them in other factors, perhaps it should be my brother and so on, we all know the various aspects of that dialogue. The last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu said is Shlach no biyad tishlach, a strange phrase, and there are various interpretations. Of course, the Targum Onkelos says B'man de kosher lemishlach, the one who is suited to be sent. Rashi has two opinions, biyad Aaron or biyad Yehoshua, but the Medrash has a fourth. It doesn't mean I don't want to go. It doesn't mean send somebody else. It means shlach no biyat tishlach, send in the hands of the one you are going to send, which the Medrash says means biyad Eliyahu. And here I explain to you what I believe to be the concept in these words. Biyad Eliyahu means that Moshe Rabbeinu knew Beruach HaKodesh, obviously, since he is aware of Eliyahu, that although he was to redeem the Jews, this redemption was not the final one. He knew it was a stopgap measure. He knew that even though the Jews would be celebrating Pesach, they would still at various times in their history be saying, Holach ma'an yodiyachalu avasan abiyar demitzrayim. He knew that there would be a Warsaw Ghetto where the Jews would be celebrating Pesach, although they were still oppressed. Yes, he knew that this was not it, and so he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand. If you are going to redeem, then as they say in German, my German background coming out, entweder oder. Either or. Then let it be a geula shleima already, if they're not ready yet, so wait a little bit longer, but if you're going to do it, do the whole thing. I can't understand a halfway measure. Yes, Moshe couldn't understand, as many people can't understand, when the question comes up in countless different forms, and you can give whatever illustrations you choose. The illustration, perhaps, of... So, is it a big deal if Soviet Jews can get out and go to Brighton Beach? Is it a big deal if you can achieve Jews going to Eretz Yisrael, but they're not from? These are all steps, 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 but they are not ultimates. And if they're not ultimates, there are those who would say, Sigon Ishvet, doesn't it, Mashiach, as people indeed say. Nevertheless, Vayichar after Hashem b'Moshe got angry, and we know that there is a Pesach, and we celebrate a Pesach, and it is a Yontif, and Moshe was told to redeem, and even though it was not the ultimate, count Sfira, and there will be more. There will still be something to look forward to, but that which has been accomplished is of great significance. I am not one who chooses to look down at the significance of the head of the church coming to a shul when one contrasts that with what happened in Rome about 100 years ago. I needn't belabor the point. You're all familiar with the fact the Jewish community had to send a representative, and all the males had to go follow with him, and then they would give over a bag of gold to the Pope, and he would accept it from them, and then he would ceremoniously boot the chief rabbi in the derriere as a sign of their superiority. And this was a tradition for countless years, for the Pope to come and for the Pope to sit and for the Pope to listen as the head of the Jewish community spoke to him, and in fact delicately but nonetheless courageously gave Musa with regard to Eretz Yisrael. That was something to live to see. And it does have meaning. I was a little kid, I went to yeshiva, and I was beaten up on the way by goyim who attacked me and who called me Christ killer. And no matter how much I tried to assure them that I didn't do it, because I really didn't know what they were talking about, they still condemned me for the act, because we are all guilty. For a guy to sit down in a shul, for the Pope to come, that was a magnificent thing. But it dare not becloud us too. A reality which has two forms, the second more significant than the first, and therefore the second more important for us in terms of ritual observance than even the first. And that is as follows. I don't know how many of you are aware, I do this in two steps, one from the Rav and the other from a personal experience that I had in Eretz Yisrael with a number of colleagues from the RCA. Rabbi Soloveitchik told us, I'm sure you've heard, that in the aftermath of Yom HaTzmaut, the church had tremendous difficulty dealing with what in fact was a major refutation of Christian theology. The term wandering Jew is a Christological term that is rooted in what early Christians attempted to do as a coincidence between the destruction 70 CE and the fact that the Jewish people did not accept Jesus. Aha, one is related to the other. Because you did not accept, therefore you are cursed, and you are cursed to wander over the face of the earth until you re-accept Jesus. More, you will never return to your homeland until you accept Jesus. And Christians throughout the ages helped to make that prophecy come true. It was a prophecy that they were, for many, many years, in a position to help validate. You will never return until you accept Jesus. Lo and behold, 1948 was a significant problem. Now please be aware that in the aftermath of 48, the church and its scholars sat down in many sessions and came to only one conclusion. It was the only escape for them. The Jewish people may have Israel, but that is not the sanctity of Israel. The essence of Israel is Jerusalem. Now I tell you this, Beinenu Bein Atzmenu, a number of years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael with members of the RCA. We had a meeting with Minister Berg, and he told us in confidence the following, and he prefaced it by saying, if you quote it in my name and it gets into the newspapers, I will deny ever having said it, because it is too sensitive for this to become public knowledge. But I want you rabbis to be aware of it, and between our own, if you feel that you can say it, you may say it. It is always felt, he said, that the threat to the continued existence of Jerusalem in Jewish hands comes from the Arab world. And I tell you that the real fear that we have, the real pressure, all the efforts on behalf of internationalization of Jerusalem, which are but code words for get it out of Jewish hands, come from Rome and not that much from the Arab world. More from Rome than from the Arabs. And that is a startling statement. And so, even as
We now hear efforts. I doubt whether they will succeed. That in the aftermath of this period of goodwill that the Pope at last recognized Israel, I say to you, the Pope may perhaps acknowledge that there is a Yom HaTzma'ut, but one thing I can tell you, a Yom Yerushalayim you will not see from him until that day prophesied vis-a-vis Sukkot, that the nations of the world will go up to Jerusalem. That day is messianic, and therefore, for us to recognize how theologically significant the return of Jerusalem to our people is, we must celebrate, rejoice, turn it into the greatest modern-day simcha, because where else can you find a day that clearly says what Christianity predicted has been proven to be a lie? Our predictions of return have been validated as we have returned to Israel, as we have returned to Jerusalem, so we are certain that we will ultimately see final fulfillment with Moshiach. Shavuos. Yes. No, thank you.
Schnapps?
That's a different story. Next time we have this also. There is a miracle that happened on Shavuos. Aside from the fact that we accepted the Torah, that's not a miracle. God gave it to us. There is a miracle that it's a miracle that we accepted it. That's true. But there is another miracle. A miracle that Chazal recognized is the greatest miracle of the day and the event, because it is the miracle that made it possible. It is also the miracle that is the other side of the coin of Pesach, and hence explains in the deepest sense what we were counting. There are so many different concepts underlying Sfiras HaOmer, but I want to tell you, I think that we are counting away from, even as we are going to, there is a Tikkun HaChet implicit in Sfiras HaOmer. There is a recognition of two sides of the coin. There are two extremes. Pesach was the sin and Shavuos was the mitzvah. And if one were to ask me, and I mean this now in all seriousness between us, not that if you were to ask me speaking to Balabatin, but honestly between us, the major need of our time for the Jewish world, it is at least in some small sense to begin to duplicate the miracle pre-Shavuos and to rectify the Pesach sin. If one asks Pesach, I know that God took us out of Mitzrayim, but one must always ask the more obvious question. You know, it isn't that great that he took us out. If he got us into it in the first place, why were we there? How did you allow it, God? How come we were in Mitzrayim? What is the key to the Mitzrayim experience? Let us quickly remind ourselves that this question was asked by Moshe Rabbeinu himself when he went out on the first day and he saw an Ish Mitzri Makeh Ish Ivri. He couldn't understand, how can this be? He saw the first Holocaust or aspects of it, and he couldn't grasp how a good God could allow something like this to happen. And at the end of the story, when he said to the guy who said to him, he says, Rashi, not the way one would think, oh, Moshe's afraid, the thing is out, the news is out, he's going to tell on me. Now the thing is known, Hadover, the thing that was troubling me all this time, the thing that I couldn't understand. What did we sin more than the 70 nations? How could God do this to us? Why are we suffering? Now I see. And what is the I see? The I see it is that Jew smites fellow Jew, that Jew could not get along with fellow Jew. Let me tell you something about the genius of a paro, and we should understand where they got us and how we sometimes are guilty of doing to ourselves what our worst enemies try to do and sometimes are brilliant enough to achieve. Paro, lo sosifun lo seis teven lo'am. Interesting. So what, he was going to make it a little harder for them to build the pyramids? Don't give them straw. There is a peculiar problem in the word lo sosifun, to which Hirsch addresses himself.
Lo Sosipun is spelt incorrectly, it would appear. Lo Sosipun, we translate the words, do not continue, for Mosif, do not continue to give Kevin La'an. If you look in the text, you see, strangely enough and unbelievably, the word Sosipun is spelt with an Aleph. Aleph Samach Fei. What in the world is that? Says Hirsch. He wasn't concerned with making it harder, but he knew one thing. Tell the Jews to build and they will build. Tell them to sweat and they will sweat. That's not going to solve his problem. But suppose he gives a quota to every Jew, and every Jew knows that he has to fulfill that amount. And look, you and I walk outside and we see at the same moment some straw that can help each one of us fulfill our quota and come back safe to our families. I will fight you over it. Lo Sosifun, from the word asifa, gathering together. Let there not be unity amongst Kal Yisrael. Son of a gun, he succeeded. Paro achieved his goal in not having the Jews be unified. That was the crime of Pesach. We say it. If we stand at the beginning of Pesach and we do the Seder, we say, God, Holach man yedich ala basan v'yadam Yisrael. Now, why did it happen? I know why it happened. Therefore, kol dich min yesev yechol, kol vishach yesev yisach, I invite people in, I'm not guilty of that same crime. Therefore, hashat ha'achol shan v'yad Yisrael, hashat ha'am v'yad Yisrael, hashat ha'am. Please, God, I didn't do it. I won't do the same thing. The Jew must learn not to be guilty of the crime which caused Mitzrayim, which caused that experience. How shall I say it? Bluntly, I guess. Elie Wiesel said at a conference in Princeton held just a few weeks ago that he has never seen an era so filled with sinas chinam as the present one amongst Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Lamb said it at the Smicha convocation. A Gadol Hador passes away, a Gadol Hador whose greatness is that for his Levaya one saw Kippah Srugan, one saw Satma Hasidim. He was a man who was able to reach so many, and yet his followers, and yet the aftermath of this, you know, you heard what he said when the Maspidim were introduced, everyone, of course, with where he was from and where he taught and his affiliation, except when three Gedolim of our age spoke, Rabbi Lifshitz and Rabbi Tendler, Rabbi Alpert, they were simply introduced as Rabbanim without affiliation because Yeshiva University doesn't exist. There is a sinna in the Jewish world which has two dimensions, one in the religious world and one in the non-religious world, and both must be addressed and both must be understood. In the world where we relate to others, where we relate to those who are not on the same wavelength as we are, I take this from the Baltimore Jewish Times. I don't know if any of you get it. A remarkable publication. I cannot believe that Baltimore puts out a magazine, the likes of which we do not have in New York, and I subscribe to it, and I urge you to get it. You will find tremendous material there. Lead article heading off the ultimate schism. There was a report on the convention of the RCA, which I don't know if you ever spoke of. I wasn't there personally, but Rabbi Bulka spoke about his book and the implications of it. The book, of course, is called The Coming Cataclysm. And remarkable. Understand what the reality of our days is, and we have to speak to, it's a beautiful time to do it on Shavuos. We have to speak first to those who are removed from us in ideology and say, you may think differently than we, but the time has come to deal with a serious question which may spell, chas v'sholom, the end of the Jewish people as we know it, certainly in terms of significant numbers. Now, he gave the numbers, I'll just very quickly read to you. By the year 2000, now we're in 1986, by the year 2000, there will be 560,000 members of the Jewish community recognized as Jewish by the Reform or Conservative rabbinate, but who will not be Jewish according to halacha. These will include 200,000 children of Jewish fathers and non-Jewish mothers who will be considered Jewish by the Reform movement, but not by the Conservative or Orthodox. Last year, the Reform movement ruled that such children are given a Jewish upbringing will be considered Jews. Okay. Another 360,000 will be Conservative and Reform converts
not converted according to halacha as currently accepted by the Orthodox. Furthermore, an additional 200,000 mamzerim, from the standpoint of halacha, such offspring are considered illegitimate. While these children are Jewish, they are prohibited to marry non-mamzerim. You have here, if you follow the numbers, 750,000 Jews who cannot enter into legal relationships with the Orthodox Jewish community. And here comes what was to me the shocker and the most fascinating historic point. When I read this, I suddenly grasped something I had never said to myself. Now, he says, Christians, historically, were not cut off from the Jewish people because they accepted Jesus, but because they accepted non-Jews into their community without requiring conversion. When the Gentiles outnumbered the Jews, the rabbis declared the whole community non-Jewish. It was only when we could no longer intermarry with them, not when there was heresy. Heresy, there can be Balei Tshuva, but if you can't marry them, then you have a serious problem. I say first, I have a double call on Shavuos. I have a call to the Reforming Conservative, and I say we are one people, and there are certain issues where we recognize, and you recognize, that we can't give in. Because you understand that there is nothing that we can do in terms of halachic definition of a Jew, and if that's the case, for the survival of our people, you have got to listen to us. The other side of the coin is, we have got to be more open-minded, and we have got to be more aware, and we have got to go out more to them, and we have got to be prepared to speak. The concept of the everybody being an apikoros and nobody talking to anybody else. I saw an interesting story. They said that Lubavitcher sent somebody out west, and this young man with beard and payas was sitting in the local base medrash, and somebody asked him, what are you doing? He said, the Rebbe sent me out to be makariv people. So he said to him, so what are you doing here? You know, you're sitting in the local base medrash of the Orthodox shul. He says, why don't you go where there are people who are not from? He says, I won't walk into a Reform temple or a conservative center. I mean, that's the way to be makariv. The way in which we have cut ourselves off from the outside world is shocking. And intra-Jewish, the way in which we relate to each other has grown by leaps and bonds in terms of sinas chinam. I was in Bigel Eisen's bookstore the other day, and I hear two people talking, and somebody quotes another person in Borough Park who said something, and this guy says, "Ye brengt ma raya fin eim? Wie woint er? 59 gas, of 59 gas in ze alle apikosen." So I suddenly discovered it's no longer a specific area. You can now subdivide. So 49th Street, and I wanted to ask, is it between 13th and 14th or 14th and 15th? There must be various gradations, etc., etc. I myself had a fascinating incident where I went into a matzah place to pick up my matzahs. And in Borough Park, there were several people waiting in line before me. And the man had a regular procedure, it seems. Whoever was there, and I listened very carefully, he would ask, "Be high steer," and the guy two before me said, "Moshe Weiss, be vointia, 49th Street, chak, kushus, me." Next person, "Be high steer, be vointia," and the same, okay. Came my turn. He said, "Be high steer," I said, "Rabbi Benjamin Blech. The Vintia, 180 Wakina Avenue, Oceanside, New York. Happy holiday." So I recognize that for a goodly segment of the Jewish community, we are happy holiday Jews. Be the adjective in addition, young Israel, or be it the fact that we are related in some way to Yeshiva University or what have you. I think the time has come for us to listen very carefully to a story, which I will read to you quickly from the Jewish Week. If you have it still in your files, dig it up. I used it with tremendous success. It is a moving story, and it should close a drusha on this concept of unity, which I didn't give you the text yet. Pesach moves from the time when we shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim to the moment when the Torah could be given, because vayichan sham Yisrael, not vayachanu. In Eretz Yisrael, and if you want to go into that, the illustrations abound. You can do any area. But in Eretz Yisrael, it seems they're beginning to deal with it now because they have to. And the kinds of conflict between Sepharim and Ashkenazim, between the Datiyim and the Kohanim, between almost everybody, is at least as intense as here, if not even more. And he tells the story. There is a group now that has weekends, and they call it Shabbat Yachad. and they tried to get the Jews of different stripes to get together, to sit down together and to talk. And in Kol Arbat, let me just read it. I don't know if you saw it or not. So he tells how Yosef Bar Tzion, a thrilling speaker from Kibbutz Reim, addressed himself to the subject with a story. He said, from time to time, Kibbutz members regale themselves with accounts of their past, of the days before they came to Israel, of the reasons which brought them here. One of the veteran members, called him Yossi, described what he had gone through during the Holocaust and of his attempts to reach Palestine aboard one of the small tugs which sought to run immigrants through the British blockade. Their vessel was intercepted, but the concentration camp survivors did not want to give up without a struggle. The British warships came closer. Then, for reasons the Jews could not at first understand, the sailors turned water hoses on the refugees who had gathered on deck, soaking them through and through. The reason became obvious shortly when tear gas bombs were hurled into the crowd. The fumes coming into contact with wet flesh caused extremely painful, even maddening irritation. The spirit of resistance was broken, and the would-be immigrants felt completely beaten, both in body and in spirit. The circle of kibbutz members listening to the story was deathly quiet. Some of them had been through similar experiences, others from their own past identified with Yossi. Worse than the pain, the speaker went on, was the overwhelming feeling that they had been crushed, defeated, smashed. Their morale was zero. At that moment, a boy dashed out of the crowd and climbed to the very top of the superstructure. He tore away the Panama flag under which they'd been sailing, reached into his pocket, and pulled out a homemade blue and white banner with a six-pointed star which he tied in place. The breeze seized the pennant and it fluttered free. The mood of the crowd changed immediately, and the ecstatic refugees broke out into a rapturous rendition of the Hatikva. Forgotten was the pain and the defeat. In their flushed exultation, they had risen over their feelings of abasement. Their spirits rose high once again. I shall never forget that moment as long as I live and what it means to us, Yossi had said. I don't know what happened to that boy. 40 years have gone by, but if ever I meet him once again, I would embrace him with love and profound gratitude. The stillness in the kibbutz chamber was broken as a hulking man in one corner rose to his feet. It was Shmuel, a member who had an argument with Yossi some months earlier over the use of a tractor. The two had not spoken to each other since. Shmuel came forward. Yossi, he said in a low voice, stretching out his arms, embrace me. I was that boy. We cry out to each other. We say, in a world filled with those who would seek to destroy us, in a world where, and you can give the list from here to I don't know where, of the Abu Nidals and the Arif Fatih Mashmam and what have you, here we are, arguing with each other, fighting with each other, still replicating that horrible moment of Vayar Shnei Anoshi Mivrim Nitzim. It is time for us to count Svira and to come to the conclusion of the Svira. Vayichan Shom Yisrael. The need of the hour is, embrace me. I was that boy. I am your brother. And when Klal Yisrael will, in fact, fulfill that admonition, then the moment of Kabbalah Satorah and all that it implies can again be realized and actualized in our lives. What? I can do one more quickly. What? The date on that. That's April 11th, 86, this year.
He's syndicated. He's almost yes. A lot of the Anglo-Jews. Yeah. It's Jewish standard.
Yes.
And the addendum to your theme, the interest most, the fact that it's going from Ask Avon to go forth and meet Moshe, Wafa, Samach, Shaliko, as an indication, part of the Tikkun HaKeif, that although Avon was the other, he wasn't jealous and embraced him.
But there is no paucity of other illustrations for that concept, of course, that's really basic. Very quickly, we are in a unique year. The Shavuos is a unique Shavuos. One might even dare to say we live in a new age. 5746, 1986, PC. PC, because post-Chernobyl is a new moment in time and demands a new awareness. If one asks what it is that we ought to recognize in this age, where we came face to face with the imminence of our mortality, where we still are not aware to this moment what the after effects will be, then the words that God proclaimed on Sinai, and in particular the first of these commandments, must assume a new reality. Anochi ad Hashem Elokecha asher hotzei sicha me'eretz Mitzrayim mibeis avodim. I would like to indicate to you that implicit in that statement, that God took us out of Mitzrayim to bring us here, to give us a Torah that represents the antithesis to the Egyptian way of life, there is nevertheless, according to Chazal, a first step that may come as a surprise to you. I took you out of Egypt. Whatever Egypt represents is not for you. The Jew must recognize that he dare never assimilate the values of another culture, that he may never become like them. It is a mitzvah in the Torah. But I would like to define that mitzvah for you in a remarkable manner, because, as I will shortly show you, although min tov zech nit oplernen fun zeh, abissel meg mit zechia oplernen, although we are not supposed to imitate them, there is something that we are supposed to learn from them, as shocking as that may first appear. Uvachuko sehem lo selechu is the text. I don't know if you ever realized that with regard to Jewish law, we have two words. Of course you know, chok and mishpat. And the difference between them is that chok represents the illogical and mishpat represents the logical. It does not say, uvmishpatehem lo selechu. It says, uvachuko sehem lo selechu. I would not dare to say what I'm going to tell you next on my own. Concern with detail is good. I mean, when a Yeki says he is going to be there b'diyuk, he means b'diyuk. When Jews, I understand in Eretz Yisrael, say v'davna nana zege b'diyuk, b'diyuk is Rosh Tevis for biz de yidin veln kumen, you know, whenever it may be. So the Yeki, the German concept carried to an extreme, we understand, is a wrong. You take the English characteristic of tradition. It's well and good when you do what your parents did, but if you do it unthinkingly and only because it is the custom of a family, Rabbi Notam long ago said in the Tosos, Rabbi Notam said it, that a minhag which is done backwards without understanding, minhag backwards spells Gehenim. Rabbi Notam says that. Simply to do because someone else did without comprehension is absurd, and that's the famous Kaskavar, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Yaakov. Not just because parents did it, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, but each one doing it on his own with understanding. The Balei Tshuva,